big yellow thing in the sky. That's the sun, in case you forgot. Isn't it beautiful? Our dear Heavenly Father, you teach us that the way we think matters. We find ourselves developing unhealthy thought patterns. We believe you want to help us change. So I pray that we could come to understand what Paul meant when he said, "The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." Grant us this, I pray, through Christ our Lord. Isn't it strange how our minds work? I had a dream this week that I was in a boat going up the river. Well, you know how dreams are. Well, all of a sudden, I'm not in a boat anymore. I'm just in the river. And I'm not thinking it's weird. And then an alligator swims up to me. And then I get it in my head, if I can just punch the alligator on the nose, I'll be all right. Okay, that's just normal dream wackiness, isn't it? Dreams, they're just odd. But the very same dream that dreamed that dream, the next day, sat in an office and tried to figure out hard problems. The very same brain that produced the wacko dream has to produce the life solutions. It's just the brain thinking in a different way. How about this? Have you ever read a book and then watched the movie that they made of the book, and you're thinking, these people are idiots. This doesn't have anything to do with the book I read. Or who cast this movie? When Abraham Lincoln was still president, I read The Lord of the Rings, and I had these characters in my head. And then when I watched the movie, I thought, man, did you get that wrong? What's happening? Oh, here's what's happening. When you read, your brain fills in the blanks. Your imagination fills in the blanks. When you're watching a movie, your brain works in a different way, and the scene changes every 3 seconds, and your brain just works in a different way. All right. The very same brain that reads a book and fills in with the imagination is the very same brain that watches the movie, but it just functions in a very different way. All right, we can get that right. That's not hard. Sigmund Freud came up with an idea about understanding how we think, and he said we need to break our thinking into 3 parts. The first part he called id. And your id is that part of your brain that is, I want what I want, and I want it now. Your id is the selfish part of you. You're born with id. Babies don't have to develop id. When they want the bottle, they want the bottle, and they don't care, right? You can't say to a baby, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, we'll have breakfast at 6. Because id is all they know. I want what I want it now. Then Freud said there's superego, and you start feeling this about 5 or 6 years old, and that's where you start learning from your mom and dad and culture what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. For example, I'm pretty sure that we'll agree in this room that you can't go around murdering people, right? Okay, if you think you can, I'm sorry, you didn't get educated right. In our culture, it's unacceptable to murder people. All right, that's part of superego. where you learn what is acceptable in your culture. And then between superego and id, there's ego, and ego has to decide all the time who they're going to side with, id or superego. So, you woke up this morning, id said, let's have a beer for breakfast. Superego said, we don't drink beer for breakfast. And ego says, yeah, you're right, we're not going to have a beer for breakfast. Or for some of you, ego said, yeah, let's do it. So Freud said, we can be less abstract about how we think. He said, see your thinking process in three parts. The one part of you is the spoiled child that wants what it wants. All right. The other part of you is you've learned from your parents and your culture that this is acceptable, this isn't acceptable. And then every day, our conscious mind, again and again and again, decides, who am I going to side with? Am I going to side with what I want in the moment, or am I going to side with superego? All right. It isn't bad. It's just not able to control itself. It's a good thing to have passions. I mean, it would be a miserable life if you never wanted anything. All right. Superego isn't all good. Some of you learned rules that aren't true. So, I don't want to see any part of my mind as bad, but what I want to do is I want to understand how my mind works, because the way I think determines my entire life. It turns out the Apostle Paul, in a pre-psychological world, was interested in this. And this is what he wrote. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the flesh is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. All right. Let's put Paul and Freud together. Can we do that? We can do that, right? So Paul talks about the mindset on the flesh. What if that's id? What if the mindset on the flesh is Paul saying that's there's a part of you that wants what it wants, and it wants it now. And if that part of you controls your thinking, it's going to wreck your life. If the part of you that is selfish and self-indulgent, that always wants something new, if that controls you, you're not going to live a good life, Paul said. He said, but there's an option. The option is the mindset on the Spirit. If the mind is set on, I want, I want, I want, I want, and I want it now, you're just not going to live well. If you can think in a different way, you have the opportunity to live better. All right. So Paul would say, I want to add one way of thinking to what Freud said. Freud said, I want, superego and ego. Paul said, there is a spiritual way of thinking, and I want to add that to how you understand about how you think. Now, Paul was a great one to make lists. If you read the Pauline letters, he loves to make lists. And I'm kind of grateful because I need illustrations. So in his letter to the Philippians, he left us this list. He said, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Paul said, you have to take control of your thought life. And to take control of your thought life, you got to have some options to think about what is good instead of just always thinking in the same patterns you've been thinking. All right, let's look at a couple of these. All right. Tomorrow, I can think a bad thought about my friend. Let's say it's true. I remember something bad about my friend and I think a bad thought about them. Okay. Or I can say, listen, I can say, that's only partially true. And I can choose to say, I'm gonna think this true thought about my friend that is positive, and I'm not gonna dwell on the ugly thing. I get to make that choice. Are you following me? Tomorrow, you can say, you can remember something your spouse said to you that annoyed you, and you can think about that. You can say, I wish I'd have said this, and the next time I'm gonna say that. Okay, you can do that, but you make yourself miserable. Or in that moment, you can say, yeah, my spouse said that, but that's not the only thing they've ever said to me. They've said some pretty nice things to me. And I choose to focus on what is the healthy and the good. I choose not to focus on the ugly. Church, the mindset on the ugly always makes an ugly life. The mindset on the spirit gives me a chance to elevate. He says there's another one. Am I going to choose to think about what is honorable or dishonorable? Everybody in this room has made mistakes. When you think about people, are you going to think about them on their worst day, the day they made the biggest mistake, boom, that's what you're going to think about all the time? Or are you going to say, I don't like where all that ugliness takes me, and I'm going to acknowledge that happened, but I'm also going to say there's a lot of things honorable, and I'm going to choose to think about the honorable, not the ugly. Church? How about the pure, the lovely? Several weeks ago, we learned that Thomas More said in his book, beauty enriches the soul. When you think about what is beautiful, you enrich your soul. All right. Now, I want to think about this in two ways. I want to say, when I think about my thought patterns about myself, am I thinking what is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise? Am I thinking that way about myself? Or have you fallen into thought patterns where you think ugly things about yourself? Why is it easier to remember the bad things I've done than the good? Huh? I can remember in fifth grade stealing quarters from my mom's purse. I don't know if I remember anything else about fifth grade, but I can remember I was the little jerk who's stealing quarters out of her purse. All right. Paul says, we get to choose. I get to choose every day. I get to choose in the moment every day what kind of thinking person I'm going to be. And Paul says, if you always are driven by what is worst in you, you'll never be a healthy and happy soul. On the other hand, there are options. There are options that if we choose them, things get better. I want to think better about myself, but I also want to think better about other people. Okay, I don't know what will happen this week, but I guarantee you something will happen, and it'll pop into my fairly cooperative brain. The idea will pop into my head, that person's an idiot. I'll probably be driving somewhere. Okay. Now, in that moment, I get to choose the quality of my life. Because if I say that person's a jerk, look how they're driving. They shouldn't even be on the road. Okay, I follow that train of thought, right? Does that train of thought lead me to whistling a happy song? No. That just makes me more judgmental to the next person. Yeah, there's another one, just like that other idiot. Right? I develop a pattern, and that pattern just keeps rippling forward. But Paul says we don't have to do that. In the moment, I can interrupt that. And I can simply say, I try to tell myself jokes now. I try to say, go, Mario, go. That's a whole lot better than me going down the ugly road, right? Or I want to say to myself, maybe they're running late to work. Maybe they have to pick a kid up from school. I want to interrupt the ugly. To the mindset on the ugly, it's ruinous. And I don't want to live that way. Is there anybody who can say amen? Amen. All right, I have an option. I can choose to turn my mind towards something better and more beautiful. I replace unhealthy thinking with healthy thinking. The id thinking kills you because it is never satisfied. Isn't this true? You think you want something, you get it. What? 2 days later, you find out you want something else. If I can just get this house, I'll be happy with it forever. Yeah, that's about 5 years. Because then you see another house. If I could just... All right. You can't ever satisfy it. And so the pursuit of satisfying what can't be satisfied is futile. On the other hand, there is something satisfying about beautiful ideas, true things, honorable things, excellent. They bring with them an innate satisfaction. All right. Spiritual thinking inspires a good life. Why? Because good thoughts enrich you. A good thought can change your day. A good thought can change the course of your life. A good thought can change your relationship in the moment, and if you can change it in the moment, you can change it in the long run. It just takes one good thought. Good thoughts promote peace. If you are more gentle with yourself, you'll have more peace within. Think a good thought about yourself. I don't know where this got out that if you think a good thought about yourself, you got an ego problem. So you're only intelligent if you hate yourself? I mean, okay, you are allowed to encourage yourself. You are allowed to say something nice to yourself. You're allowed to speak peace into your own heart. Do you hear it? And if I will do that, the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. I will have more peace if I speak more peaceably within myself. And by the way, you'll have more peace if you speak more peaceably to others. A soft answer turneth away much wrath. All right. Id thinking is hostile toward God. Why? Okay, you can read this and say, well, if you don't think right, you make God angry. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, when I'm thinking in a selfish way, I start feeling hostile toward God because he's always going to be the adult in the room. You get that? God is always going to be the loving father in the room. And when you are thinking ugly thoughts, he is gracious enough to say, yeah, I don't approve of that. Church, I want my heavenly father to be a good dad to me. And when he says that kind of thinking isn't good for you and it bothers me, I want to respect him for it. Church, it doesn't bother him because somehow or another it's an insult to him. It bothers him because he loves us. Your heavenly father loves you and cares about what's going on in you. And when your mindset is on self-indulgence, he knows that's ruinous for you. And it makes us hostile toward God because God says, come on, you can do better than that. And then we start getting grouchy with God. Oh, you're so strict. You never let me have any fun. Yeah. You don't understand, right? We become hostile toward God when God is just saying, come on, let me help you. You got a bad attitude today. Let's turn our thoughts on something more pure, more lovely. Id thinking doesn't please God because it damages the soul. Spoiled children don't please their parents. Church. And so I can't be a spoiled brat and think God's going to go, all right, dude, here's another candy bar. He's too good of a being to do that. So what he says is, we can do better. We can do better. Here are some ideas. Replace these ugly ideas with these good ideas, and you're going to live better. And don't get mad at me because I'm asking you to do something that is so good for you. All right. Think, replace ugly thoughts about myself with healthier thoughts. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing evil with that. Look, God loves you and he'll help you do it. Okay, replace ugly thoughts about other people with good thoughts. Stop thinking you can judge their hearts. Give them a break. Let's give each other a break. None of us, we're just humans. We mess up. And we need to have a more gentle disposition with one another. All right. Then God says, if you can think in a more healthy way about yourself, and you can think about a more healthy way about others, you'll be able to think in a more healthy way about God. Paul wrote just before what I read, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I can make this easy. My mindset affects how I think about God. Here's what it looked like. If you get stuck where all you see is ugly, everywhere you look, you see the broken. Everywhere you look, you see people messing up. Everywhere you look, you see... Okay. That affects how you think about God. You look at a broken and ugly world and you go, yep, God, good job. All I see is broken and ugly. I begin to think poorly of God because all I think about is the ugly. All right, now let's change that. I was driving to work this morning in the sunshine. What a beautiful thing. I feel tempted to sing you a song, but I won't. Sunshine fell softly through my window today. Anyone? No? All right. And I saw flowering trees. Okay. Just flowering trees. But I thought, it's a beautiful world. It is a beautiful world. I'm not saying everything is the way it should be. I'm not saying things aren't broken, but I'm saying it's a beautiful world, church. Unless you've created thought patterns that only allow you to see the ugly. Can you hear this? There is beauty everywhere if you have a brain that can see beautiful. If you have created thought patterns that only see the ugly, you don't see the flowering tree, you see the dead gopher laying on the side of the road. And you think, oh, that's disgusting. Lift your head up. Look at the flowering tree. There is something beautiful to be seen. All right. If I'm always thinking about pleasing myself, my thoughts about God are tainted because God is always going to challenge my selfishness. If I'm always thinking I should have this and I should have that, by the way, every commercial you see on TV says you deserve. Every commercial, the underlying message is you deserve. Somebody thinks I deserve a Cadillac. And I think, I don't even like Cadillacs. My dad deserves a Cadillac. Now, F-150s, that's an altogether different. All right. Every commercial says you deserve this. But you have a loving Heavenly Father who says, you know, it's good for you not to get every darn thing you want. It's good for you to have to make choices. It's good for you to have to distinguish. That is a healthy thing in life, church. The people who get everything they want, they are never happy. It's a pathway to happiness to say, I can only have one, and I'm choosing this. So, sorry, I get off track. All right. My thought patterns affect how I think about God. And now Paul tells me three ways to think about God, three healthy ways. First thing he says is, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All right, I want everybody to hear this, because this is not what you've heard. Paul says, here is a healthy thought about God. There is therefore no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. What does he mean? All right, when I was a boy, I heard all the time, someday when you die, you're going to go up to heaven, and God is going to show a movie of your life to everybody. Anybody ever hear that? Am I the only one here? God is going to show a movie of your life to everybody. And I say, all right, forget it. Just throw me in hell. Okay, if you're going to show a movie of my life, just throw me in hell. I surrender. All right. The idea was that somehow or another, it brought God a strange sense of delight to humiliate people with their life mistakes. That's what was implied. All right, listen to what Paul says. Paul says, God's not going to show any movies. That movie died on the cross with Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. If you trust the forgiveness of God, there is no condemnation. Are you willing to start changing your mind about who God is? He's not the harsh judge that you've heard. He doesn't find delight in humiliating people. He is a loving parent who has a passionate disposition to help every one of his kids day by day have life and peace. That voice that is condemning you is not God. It may be your super ego. It may be a family member from the past. It may be culture, but it is not God. Second, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. Okay. Just let that wash over you a little bit. The law of the Spirit of life. And he's contrasting it to a bunch of religious rules. What leads to the best life? The law of a bunch of religious rules or the law of the Spirit of life? So I want to ask myself, what is the law of the Spirit of life? It's the very same thing we just talked about. It is these noble qualities. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of praise, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, that is the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life is God graciously showing us what is beautiful and noble and makes life rich. That's the law of the Spirit of life. And that is the law of the Lord. Okay, I know you've heard the Ten Commandments. All right, let me tell you this. You get the law of the Spirit of life right, and everything else takes care of itself. I'm going to show this to you. If I have the law of the Spirit of life right, and I say, I don't permit myself to think ugly thoughts about my wife, Sharon. I do not permit myself to do that. I hold myself to a higher standard. I want to think lovely thoughts about her. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. That's the law of Spirit of life. All right. Do I have to worry about the Ten Commandments if I'm already living under the idea I always think the best of my wife? What commandment am I going to break if I'm living by an internal law that says I always think the best about my wife? What Ten Commandments are you going to break? You're going to steal from somebody that you're always thinking the best of? You're going to lie to somebody who you always think the best of? You're going to cheat on somebody you always think the best of? When you live by the higher, more beautiful, more rich, more noble ideas, the law takes care of itself. Can you hear me? When I'm saying the way I think about my wife matters, and I'm going to hold myself to a new standard, what happens is all these other things, they just take care of themselves. Look, on the other hand, I can do the Ten Commandments and not be nice to my wife. Because I don't murder her doesn't mean you're a good man, you didn't murder your wife. You can do the Ten Commandments and still not live well. Listen, but if you live by the Spirit of life, you always live well. The law of the Spirit of life sets you free. Third, for God has done what the law, weakened by flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin. All right, this is what we believe. This is what our faith teaches us. I have done things that are wrong. I have made moral sinful mistakes. All right. I'm not denying that. But what my faith teaches me is that on Good Friday, Christ died for my sins. Do you get that? I don't know whatever you've heard about Good Friday. It wasn't Jews. It wasn't Romans. It wasn't all these things we say. You know what it was? It was God saying, I'm going to take care of this problem myself. And Christ died for our sins. Everything I've ever done wrong that God didn't like, Christ accepted the penalty for on the cross. Now, I want to think about God that way. I want to think about God as the one who says, I have rules and you broke them. But I have the cure. Christ died for our sins. All right. Now, it should change the way I think about him. Here's a specific example. I say a word that my wife doesn't like to hear me say. So I say to myself, I'm not going to say that word anymore. Well, I do anyway. All right. I just feel bad about it. All right. So, if I'm living by the law of the Spirit of life, when I'm in that moment and I say, yeah, I did it again. And then that voice starts saying to me, you're an idiot. You're never going to get this right. You said, okay. That's where all this makes the difference. In that moment, I'm going to replace the thought. In that very moment when my mind says, yeah, there you go again, loser. That is the exact moment where the mindset on the spirit has to kick in. And in that moment, I have to say, yes, this is a mistake. But God said, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm really sorry that I didn't live up to what I said I would do. Okay, in that moment, I'm turning toward what is good instead of running from what is good. Because you know what my impulse is? Okay, God, I've messed up again. I'm going to hide until you forget about it. Isn't that in our impulse? I'm gonna stay a little bit away from God because I've messed up again. Okay, that's wrong thinking. Right thinking is, yeah, I messed up again. But it doesn't change how God feels about me. God doesn't change his mind when I make mistakes. In fact, he promises to help me get back on track. And instead of letting that mistake control the way I think about myself for the next 2 hours, I'm going to quickly replace that, and I'm going to look to God and say, I want to think better thoughts right now. I want to think better thoughts right now. In this moment, I want to think about something that is beautiful and noble and true and good. I have an idea for you. I just bought 2 books. They're art books. One is on the art of the Vatican, and the other one is on the art of Florence. And they are glossy paper, and they're copies of all these great paintings. Because I have this idea, I can hold an image in my mind. So right now, I can close my eyes and I can see the creation of Adam on the Sistine Chapel. Okay. I have an idea that in day-to-day living, when I need to change my thinking from something ugly to something beautiful, I can begin by envisioning one of these lovely paintings. And you know what happens? It resets your mind. It actually... To envision the beautiful actually resets your mind. Beauty and ugliness don't abide in the same thoughts. One pushes the other one out. Okay, and if I can just start with this beautiful, okay, I'm just gonna, okay, in, all right, in this moment I feel like I'm getting angry, I'm gonna say something I shouldn't say, I'm gonna be a jerk, okay, boom. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. I instantly say, I'm going to think about this image. All right. I think about that image for a minute. Now I have a little breathing room, and now I can say, all right, instead of being angry, I'm going to be forgiving. Instead of being angry, I'm going to be gentle. Instead of being angry, I'm going to encourage. Do you see? Because in the moment, I'm turning from the mindset on the flesh to the mindset on the spirit, and the mindset on the spirit is always going to do something better than the mindset on the flesh. The little id, spoiled brat, will never do as well as the spiritually mature soul. All right. I want to ask you to do four things. And unless you have a good memory, write at least one of these down. Four things. One, I'm asking you to trust that whatever God accomplished on the cross makes a difference in your life. It's about you personally. The cross is more than just a historic thing. It's a personal thing. How is it personal? Here's what I say. Dear God, I'm never going to be good enough for you. But I trust that what Christ did for me makes me acceptable to you. Okay, I get off of performance acceptance. If I trust Christ, I don't have to perform. I don't have to be always proving to God I'm good enough for you. See, I'm okay. See, I'm a good guy. All the pressure of trying to prove you're good enough for God, you let go of that. You just simply say, I'm not good enough for you. But I trust that Christ makes me good enough for you. Two, this is the second thing I'm asking. You begin to think more about the goodness of God than the things that you've heard about him that misrepresent him, right? I've done funerals for people who honestly believe God was mad at them and killed their loved one. I've done funerals where people actually said to me, I don't know why God had to kill this person. If he's mad at me, whoever taught that poor soul that God murders people you love to get even with you? Where does that come from? All right, in the moment, I want to turn from wrong thinking about God, and I want to think about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The goodness of God. All right, three. Discipline your daily thought patterns on spiritual beauties and not self-indulgent habits. All right. Go with me on this. You're flipping through a magazine and you see some fancy watch. I mean, this watch does everything but make you a ham sandwich. And your id kicks in. And your id goes, yeah, I want that watch. I wonder how much that is. Okay. Then you can follow that pattern, and won't be long, you want everything on every page in that magazine. Ooh, I'd like to have that too. Oh, look at that. All right. Okay, or in that moment, you can go, there are things in my life I value more than that watch. Brothers, you might go, instead of thinking about how much I want that watch, I want to think of something I can do today that makes my wife feel honored. See what I've done? I've taken my mindset off of doing something that is a momentary gratification. I put my mind on something that has real value, doing something that honors my wife. That has real value. Can you hear this? Or I want this. Okay, in that moment I say, that would be nice, but I would really rather prefer to figure out a way to do something kind for my friend who's going through this difficult time right now. I'd really more prefer to find a way to encourage my friend who's struggling at work. the mindset on the flesh, I got to have that new watch, I got to have this, I got to have this, I have to have this, it kills you. The mindset on the spirit says, that watch is nice, but honoring my wife is much nicer. That watch is nice, but helping my friend is much more noble and much more beautiful. I'm turning my thoughts away from things that are just temporarily satisfying to things that have real beauty, real dignity, real strength. Church. All right, finally, replace ugly thoughts with noble thoughts. Just say to yourself, I don't permit myself to think that way, and replace the ugly thought with the noble thought. You hear somebody who has a different political view of you, and you just start thinking the ugly thoughts. You just stop for a minute and say, I'm not going to think that way. I'm not going to think that way. I can disagree with them about politics, but I'm not going to think that way. See, I'm going to replace it. Or I'm going to say, I'm going to just go on and on and refresh your self-talk. Be nice to yourself. Could I ask you one more time? Be nice to yourself. Say something nice in your head. You don't have to be harsh with yourself. For example, am I the only one who gets grouchy and you don't know why? Is there anyone? Okay, I can get grouchy and I don't have any reason. I have no reason to be grouchy. But Mr. Grouchy has to butt in. Okay, but now I know him. And when I start to feel his annoyance, I say, we're not going there today, dude. I'm going to think better thoughts than that. I'm going to say, what's the most noble thing I can think in this moment? What's the most beautiful thing I can think in this moment? Memorize a Bible verse. Memorize a poem. Captain, my captain, your fearful trip is done. Put something noble in your head, and when you're refreshing your thinking, force yourself to say something nice to yourself. All right. And then refresh your self-talk about other people and God. Make some new standards for yourself about how you permit yourself to think about other people and God. Raise your standards. Say, I'm better than that. I'm better than that. I can think better of people than that. I can think something more beautiful than that. I can think something more noble than that. I can think something more excellent than that. I'm refreshing how I talk to myself, how I think about other people, and how I think about God. Because the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. If you think that way, you live a better life, you have more peace inside you, and you have more peace around you. Our dear Heavenly Father, I want to have a better thought life. I want to think better thoughts. I want to think better thoughts about the kind of man you've made me. I want to think better thoughts about the people around me. I want to think better thoughts about who you are. I want to abandon the ugly quickly and turn toward the noble quickly. I want to find contentment in whatever satisfied you about the work of Jesus Christ. And I want to believe that you accepted what he did to make up for my mistakes. And I want to think the best of you. I want to see the best in you all the time. I pray for myself, I pray for the people in the room and the people online. Amen.